Hey, welcome everyone. It is Stunker in the Audio 966. This is Jeremy. Kevin has the day off. We couldn't convince his dad to join the show. So joining me is Chris pulling number three in a row. What's up, man?
Oh, not a heck of a lot, Jeremy. Yeah. Three in a row for me. I guess it's something of a milestone.
What a low bar.
Yeah, very low bar. Very, very low bar.
Yeah, man, I was telling Kevin, his wife has been sick, my wife's been sick, the people in my gym have been sick, and I'm like, I didn't catch anything. That's pretty sweet. Weeks and weeks go by, and then all of a sudden, I think it was Tuesday night, I got crushed. And I'm like, where did this even come from? Wednesday, just all day, it sucked. I just texted Kevin, hey, I finally got nailed. And it was good. It was a good thing, too. Like, no way I was doing this stuff. So I missed out on all the fun, I guess. But no, I didn't miss anything last week, did I? Like news or anything?
I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, good.
Yeah.
Well, one story that did get missed, we'll just start with this, then we'll get into like more modern more recent news. AEW's ratings tanking? Now look, I know, like, we talked about it briefly in our group chat. Do you buy all these excuses that are coming out for why it was so low?
I have never seen so many excuses in my life. I know some of that is Dave Meltzer's stream of consciousness, can't keep a running thought going.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, and claiming everything from the sun being out to literally the sun being out to obviously competition and the hockey game, I think. It might have been the hockey game. I don't think it was basketball. No, basketball was over by then.
Wait, last Wednesday? No, wasn't that the NBA Finals?
That might have been the NBA Finals, yeah. That might have been.
One of the worst NBA Finals ever.
Yep. That was that. A Kendrick Lamar concert on Amazon on Prime Video, but I don't think that I'm just knowing seeing the pasty fat white bodies that that permeate the hard camera of AEW shows. I'm having a hard time believing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's, you know, everything but the content of the show.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, like, the more recent one was that their usual lead-in of the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah, that.
So you're
saying your audience is usually people who fall asleep at the end of Big Bang Theory and just keep the...
At 7:30? Yeah, at 7:30, 6:30 on a Wednesday, they're just too lazy or asleep to change the station? Now, look... I guess that's possible. It is around like late dinner time for some. But I heard this excuse and I just started thinking, well, isn't, like, when Raw has a bad number, is it SVU's problem? Is
no,
it the
of
fault of
not.
Like Law and Order? Like, I don't understand outside of, like, you know, like, well, they got skin in the game, whatever. I don't understand this strong predication of always coming up with a reason why AEW's ratings are going down. It's always something. And it's like, how about it's just a lack of interest? Can we find, like, I guess we'll find out Thursday how tomorrow does with no competition
right.
whatsoever.
But they've got nothing for that show either. They're not going to do anything special for that show. It's just very maintenance go home show for a pay per view. No one cares about.
Yeah,
which is my big thing. All these foreign wrestlers who just come on the TV out of nowhere. You know, they overwhelm the TV. This has happened 3 years in a row, and this is even worse. This isn't even worse for a Forbidden Door build. Than previously. The first one had some novelty to it. The second one had two big matches. This has nothing.
Well, isn't part of the problem with the Forbidden Door concept that there are consistently, like, foreign company wrestlers on the shows?
That is true, too. Yes,
so
there is.
It's absolutely meaningless.
Yeah, and, you know, you've got New Japan, cold as ice. You've got CMLL has never really made any kind of a dent in the U.S. You've got, I mean, the only person who's done anything at all with this Forbidden Door build is Mina Shirakawa. She's more over than the entire New Japan roster.
Yeah, well, for those reasons. But even that's
for reasons, yes.
Yeah, that storyline's bizarre too.
Oh, it is very bizarre.
But it also it goes to like the creative process of that company, which is not what we're talking about. And you know, in a microscope, but. Yeah, like, see, don't forget AAA's on this show, so that's supposed to be a big thing, which they've never made it a big thing.
Who's AAA, though?
But that's what I'm getting at is you've got all these guys, but they've had AAA guys on before.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, who cares?
And why wouldn't you just save the MJF Rush match for Forbidden Door?
Well, because he can't work it. Roosh can't work it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. And
so, what is the guy's name that MJF is facing at Forbidden Door?
God damn it. You did it on purpose. Hetchicero? Something like that?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Who I believe's already lost on AEW TV.
Well, he's tied in with Brian Cage and the... the Gates of Agony. So
it,
of no,
isn't it called Cage of Agony now?
I have no idea what they're called now. But this Hashicero fellow, like, once again, much like that Stephanie Vaccaro, whatever the hell is facing when I say doesn't know an A,
yeah.
I have never heard or read that name before in my life.
Okay, so
as I said to Kevin several weeks ago, or did I say it to you?
It was me.
I am very deep into this bullshit. It takes a lot for me to have never had a name come across my phone screen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah. Well,
that's what they're running this pay-per-view around.
So we were talking about that, and I do watch CMLO. I watch whatever they put on YouTube. I've never seen her before. Well, all of a sudden, she appeared on AEW. Now, she is the New Japan. She's representing New Japan.
Yeah, she's representing New Japan Strong, yes.
But they said she's from CMLL. Okay. Well, CMLL, she's never on. Well, then all of a sudden, they found a match. And they had, I don't know if this is old or not. They don't date these things or put them in English or subtitles. It was her, Tessa Blanchard, and somebody else. I was like, Tessa Blanchard? Like, is she back? I thought that was strange. But then it was only, like, 10 minutes, and that was it. I've never seen her again on this thing. So it's just...
I know they did a deal where Mercedes showed up on their show last week.
Yeah. That was actually on YouTube, so yes.
Yes, yes. But still... I just assume that this is just set up so that Mercedes can win that title that she, you know, was never supposed to lose in the first place and have both belts.
Maybe, okay, is she a big draw overseas? Because
which one? Mercedes?
Mercedes.
I have no idea. New Japan put most of her matches on U.S. shows. I mean, that was a whole weird thing because her whole thing was always wanting to work in Japan, which she did. I mean, I'm not going to say she didn't.
Yeah, but it's like, she's not a draw here. They made that perfectly clear. So
no, she's not.
It's like putting I don't know why other promotions put their titles on people in other promotions. In a way, I understand why Jon Moxley's the IWGP champion, because as you pointed out, they're cold as hell.
Yeah,
you know,
and he's been touring there consistently for the last 5 years. So You could say he's, you know, he earned it. It's fine. I imagine Naito's getting it back, but Naito's a guy they jerk him around so much, and like he'll get the title, but then he'll lose it like a month or two later. Mm-hmm. They've been constantly doing this to him for years. Yeah, they are incredibly cold. And of course, you know, this pay per view then has to be main evented by an AEW guy versus an AEW guy.
Yeah. And then after this, it's the build to Wembley, right?
Yeah, this is the build to Wembley. They're not on pay per view again until Wembley.
Yeah, where no one's pointing out the fact they've only sold 40,000 seats.
Well, they're gonna present that as a success.
Yeah, and that goes back to why we even began this. The amount of excuse making without just blatantly saying, like, it doesn't hurt to be honest. It doesn't seem to matter to the guy running the company.
No, he's gonna keep booking for the sickos.
Okay, I didn't understand that. I know this is old, so sorry. We'll get to something recent quick, but I didn't understand that. Besides, he's doing his middle of the night tweeting or Xing.
Super nerd. He books for super nerds. He's booking his nationally, globally televised wrestling show for the hardest of the hardcores, a group of people that cannot be more than low six figures.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, I don't get what he's talking about. And then it's
the people who would actually get excited over MJF versus Heshishiro.
Yeah, and then also probably Order Forbidden
Door. Or Okada versus Ancient Ultimo Guerrero is a big fucking deal.
Yeah. You heard the story behind the whole Ultimo Guerrero thing?
I've heard that's funny. Even though he hasn't worn a mask in 10 years, they made him put one on. And had a seamstress put one together within in like an hour.
I'll take shit for this one. I'm tired of hearing about Okada being the best wrestler alive.
Oh, he's on his retirement plan right now.
He's doing the Nakamura of WWE.
I think Nakamura works harder.
It's because I remember when it was Okada's up for, you know, he's a free agent. WWE interest, and I was like, how is WWE going to use him? You know, if he doesn't speak English, doesn't do this, and it's like, yeah, I mean, that's fair. Triple H is in charge, though, so maybe be different, blah, blah, blah. You know, they don't treat foreign wrestlers. Look how they did Nakamura. They let him speak Japanese, gave him the cool graphics. Yeah, but no, I just don't see it. I mean, you don't want him just, like, stammering and being like a Japanese stereotype. Yeah, that's very true. And then someone in AEW was like, "Nah, that's exactly what we're gonna do."
He's gonna say "bitch" a lot.
And
it's gonna be funny, like he's talking about Shinoku in 1997.
No, I thought it was I went with Funaki in the Indeed, but I guess it's not the same. Yeah.
No, it's not the same. No.
But it's wasn't
Taka's thing telling people "you asshole"? Yeah. I remember that.
Okay, I knew he had something, but it's been so long. But it's like, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they're doing.
And everyone excuses it.
Yeah, no. If you could say it's borderline racist, yes.
I mean, I know
he's doing it. Someone's going to say anything.
I know he's supposedly parodying, like, Japanese stereotypes. Like, that's why he was like, "I'm so sorry." And then,
oh yeah, it's that cool that irony, too cool for the room humor. Yes.
Yeah, and I just
that people have already been tired of the Young Bucks for.
It's like how do you take a star and like make it run out of gas? I mean, dead on arrival. I don't care. And again, it doesn't matter if his matches are good. But once they stop being good, it sure as hell matters. And that Ultimo Guerrero one, no. I don't care if the mask was a problem or not. He's also miscast because no one wants to boo him. So whatever.
Right, of course, no.
But anyways, all right, let's get the hell out of this. Oh, one thing.
Wait. One more AEW related thing.
That's my fault. All right, go ahead.
Will the money be coming to AEW?
Oh, that Shane McMahon thing?
Yeah.
Oh. I actually forgot about
that. If he's
that.
Willing, I think they should probably just do it.
Yes, they should.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Why not? Bring in Vince McMahon, too. Do something. Do anything interesting for this show. It's like the talent on this show gets buried by the absolute boring product they put out. That's their problem. This show's not exciting whatsoever. It's paint by numbers. Even MJF is getting to be paint by numbers.
Yep.
Almost said Ricochet. It's not Ricochet. I had Killshot on the brain. Swerve Strickland. Even that's becoming like paint by numbers. Will Ospreay comes out, you know, like meth rambling. Whoa, 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 bro. I'm like, okay. It's the same thing every time. And then Bucks come out, bore you to death. Like, it's... And then in between, the people that you kind of want to see are nowhere to be seen. So, yeah, bring Shane McMahon in. Why the hell not? What's it going to do? It will get you a bump in the ratings for a few weeks. I can't see how that wouldn't work.
Give me some wacky Shane matches. Give me Shane versus Orange Cassidy. Hell, give me Shane versus Okada. Now that would be hilarious.
I'm with you. I know. I'm fully – I didn't even think of that. Because I didn't give this much thought. I was like, whatever. I am fully on board with that.
I would if they got a deal done in the next 24 hours and announced that match for Forbidden Door, I'd drop my $50 for it.
Oh, I don't know about that. That's $50, but it would, all right. So I'd have to up the ante and have like it have to be a title match of some sort.
Well, Okada does have a title.
Oh, that's true. Oh, he does.
He's the international champion.
Thank you. I was like, I did not know which one it was.
Oh, no. He's the
continental one.
Continental one, yes.
Yeah, Will Ospreay's the international one. That's right.
Yeah, okay. Yes. He won.
Yeah, and make
won
the
that
whole,
for no reason.
Go totally WCW, which after tomorrow, the two of us can talk about that whole show.
But, oh, yeah. I'll do a special fourth show in it.
Yeah.
Just for that.
But make it a whole WCW thing. Fuck it. Just go all out. Shane McMahon beats Okada. Then all of a sudden he comes out and challenges Swerve. He interferes in Swerve and Will Ospreay. Now Tony Khan comes out, you know, all crazed. Just get in the match. Whatever. We'll unify everything. Have Shane McMahon win. I don't care. I don't care. It would at least be something interesting. And there's nothing interesting on the horizon for this company, which is the big problem.
No, there isn't. No. I get they're going to put all their eggs in the basket. It looks like Danielson getting one last title, getting world title reign before he retires. Is what it seemed that they're and that's which is why they're going to rush the world title on Ospreay.
Do you really think he'll win?
I don't know. It doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't seem.
I mean,
either
of he's
right.
gonna. It doesn't seem like the right time. But then again, do you really want Swerve versus Ospreay 2 main eventing Wembley if Ospreay gets in the Owen?
Yeah, I mean they've left it open in that Owen Hart tournament for a wild card. So I'm going to assume it's the loser of, you know, Strickland and Ospreay.
Yeah.
But again, another tournament. So
yeah.
Oof. All right. Another thing that did happen last week that carried over into this week. I did miss talking about the Wyatt 6 debut.
Yes, you did.
It was pretty hokey, but it was also kind of exciting. Like, okay, they're finally here. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I got tired of everyone saying that they murdered everyone backstage, and the jokes just like it just keeps going, and it actually does go to bring up like, you know, a Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez sort of thing again. I watch like Wrestling Observer Live every day on YouTube for free, and if I have to hear one more thing about how Chad Gable came back from the dead. Because he was shot in the head, and it's like, one, it was never said that's what happened. Do you really think they're killing people? This isn't Lucha Underground. Yeah, he got popped in the head with something. It happens. But anyways, it's annoying. So, real quick, what did you think of the debut? I know you and Kevin probably talked about it. Were you on board with it or?
I am withholding a final opinion.
That's fair.
I mean,
Yeah, I'm the same.
it was visually stunning. You know, as everything associated with the beginning of a Bray Wyatt storyline always is.
Yeah, yes.
Where it all goes, that's to be determined.
Yeah.
They have to. It's they haven't really decided whether they're going to be face or heel, I feel like, although they are stalking Chad Gable, so I guess that makes them faces.
Well, okay. So fast forward to this week. And, well, one, I liked it. The crowd loved it. There was no way around it. That crowd was eating it up.
Oh yeah,
And you're always excited
live
for the
crowds will
debut.
always, once again, live crowds will always will always lap up, you know,
Yeah.
this stuff with a spoon. They
Yeah.
always did.
So we fast forward to Monday, and what we'd always heard was there wasn't going to be a whole like mystical or supernatural element to this. Chad Gable wins, and then the ring fills up with smoke, which, all right. And then Nikki Cross or Sister Abigail, they haven't really named everybody yet, but Nikki Cross crawls in and he's like kind of freaked out. Understandable if they attacked you last week, like, oh God, it's happening again. Cool. She hands Michael Cole the videotape, which just cracked me up that it was a video, a VHS tape. Because Cole had to explain what it was. And I just went, oh no. He wasn't explaining it to me, that's for sure.
No.
If he would have said like a Betamax or. I don't even know what was before VHS tapes.
It was Betamax.
But even
Because then it
then,
was
like,
because then it was nothing. There was
it
no
was
such thing as
nothing.
home.
Huh. All right. So anyways, and then they played the tape. And it started off, it slapped you right in the face. When Uncle Howdy is talking to someone, and I was trying to figure out if that was actually Bo Dallas under the mask,
Yeah, it is, definitely.
he looked a little chubbier in the face. I guess that mask was pressing down. And then it turns out he's talking to Bo Dallas. All right, this is a little interesting. And then, well, his first question was, so your brother died. Or his first statement is, so your brother died. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I wasn't expecting that.
No, I was not expecting that at all, but it's totally fair game. I guess some people are being offended by it, but I'm like, the
Really?
man's family is literally like right there.
Oh
I mean,
my, it's whatever.
the family's fine with it. It's literally what he would have wanted. I think anyone who has any idea about who he was as a person can figure that this is what he would have wanted. This isn't like Vince McMahon saying that Owen Hart would have wanted the show to go on. No. Everyone who knows this man would say, tell you, he would want this to go on. One of the reasons he came back was so his brother could get his career back, basically.
Yeah. Well, all right, so one quick thing on their debut last week. So, I think it was Mike Rotunda, or maybe it was his sister, wrote something about him about the debut. And at the end it said, I wish you were here for this, with a red circle at the end of his X post. Well, if you noticed Eric Rowan, or the Rabbit, when he has the help me written on the hammer, when he twisted the hammer, there's a red circle on the bottom of the hammer.
That was always, I think that was always supposed to be a symbol
Yeah, but I just like
for
the fact
Bray, and
like
it just never got,
it was just kind of a nod.
the whole idea, never got fully fleshed out as we know.
Yeah, so I just like the little nod because Mike Rotunda, it's a horrible thing losing a child, no matter what age it is. So if that can bring him some peace, and especially if Bo can thrive in this, well, I'm trying to stay linear with this, Bo Dallas is getting a lot of praise for, like, oh my God, he's being really good in this. And it's like, did you forget how good Bo Dallas was? Like, he took garbage and made it good. Like,
Right, yeah.
what was the team with him and Curtis Axel? What the hell were they called?
Oh shit, were they the when they were with Miz?
No. It was when they were the comedy part. The runners up, or it was always about being number two somehow.
The Social Outcasts?
There was no.
Because that was the whole group.
It was just the two of them, and they ended up winning the tag team titles.
I mean, they eventually ended up the Miztourage, but
Yes, it was before the Miztourage, because they would always have, like, they were just two goofballs, because that's when they did the whole spoof on the Wyatt family. God damn it. Anyways, he took garbage and made it good, so they killed it. And then they got to the Miztourage. Then a step down, but they still did good in their role. They killed it. So now it's like, everyone's like, wow, he's doing really good. He's always done good with what he's given. It's just that he's been given garbage, so it took a long time to figure out. But anyways, to go back to this, I mean, I really liked this. It made sense that Bo or Uncle Howdy, whoever, outside of putting it on a VHS tape, it would make sense that he would, like, interview himself. If he's like, if he's this down and down, not down in the dumps, to put it lightly, if his psyche's that fragile or broken, it would make sense that he would do this and send it in. Now, how it was delivered, all right, but I don't know why anyone would be think this was controversial. I don't know why anyone would think, like, it wasn't good. I'm not saying it was spectacular, but it damn well kept my interest, and I went, all right, let's see what's next, without really interfering with the show outside of, Nikki Cross showing up.
right. Yeah, no. No, I mean, I think the key to this is going to be it has to be its own world. And you're gonna have to sacrifice people you're not gonna push to the main event. Maybe Gable and the Creeds or whoever, might be the ideal people.
Well, I think the Creeds, especially because they're so young,
Yeah.
they can bounce back from anything. But
Yeah.
I.
You just have. Look, once again, we're not totally sure if they're going to be faces or heels at this point. We're not sure about that, but you have to keep the main eventers out of it, and keep your main championships out of it.
Until, everything comes in, and they always, I mean, they pretty much always adjust on the fly. And especially, like, if this was a Vince thing, I wouldn't think this way. And I know that's like a cop out. But to have a group like this in Triple H's hands, and where the hell's Jeremy Borash? No one mentions his name anymore.
I think he is working more on the main roster than NXT.
Okay, well, then if it's in his hands too, I'll trust it. So, which is a hilarious thing to think of 15, 20 years later when he was in TNA. Be like, I want this guy off my TV. I don't want him talking. And now it's like, yeah, his backstage vignettes are pretty damn good.
I mean,
So.
they have proven the obviously the whole main event of situation where WrestleMania 40 proved that they can pivot. They can take advantage of the fact that this is done live every week, and if something's not working, you can change for the better. It's not like a TV or a TV show films top 10 episodes at a time, throws a season out there, and by episode 3 it's a mess, but there's nothing you can do about it. This is, they take advantage of the fact that they're alive and can always adjust on the fly.
And that's why, like, the heel face thing, the crowd's cheering him.
Yeah.
So I know it's only week two, and it's a honeymoon phase, and they could turn on
Yeah.
it. But I think what's gonna happen, if they have another gimmick ass thing like Boat or like Bray does, it's not gonna work.
Yeah, we got, yeah, no. Well, let's see. No pitch black matches or
Right.
anything like that. Maybe you can go off the beaten path a little bit with a cinematic deal, but I wouldn't do too many of those this day and age, obviously.
I don't think the cinematic stuff is really that necessary or even included much anymore. You don't really get
No.
that stuff. So that's okay. Like it had its time. And I just don't think it's and that's what I kept telling her was they don't fit with the product Triple H has started to present. So like there's nobody else that's supernatural anymore because it doesn't really work. And it's like that's when you start talking about like pivoting or change on the fly. I think they're gonna have to really make it work. Have them be like psychological characters, that's fine. But then just have them be like the Wyatts were just creepy swamp people. They really didn't do
Yes.
anything supernatural.
Yes, that version of them should have lasted longer than it did.
Yeah.
Vince, that's one of aging Vince's worst mess screw-ups. Breaking him up, putting him back together, breaking him up, putting him back together, not pushing Bray to to a world title level when it would have mattered.
And then giving him the title to lose it a month later.
Yes.
To the wrong guy, too, which is even
Yeah.
worse. But yeah, so like I'm with you. I'm still reserving judgment, but I am liking what I see so far. Now, we'll see what happens when they start wrestling. Like, how are you gonna get around this?
Well, if you've noticed, the Uncle Howdy costume has changed.
Not too well. No, I have noticed a change, but what do you mean? He's not gonna wrestle his Uncle Howdy, is he?
That's the thing. The original costume when Bray was still around was incredibly cumbersome. It didn't. It allowed no flexibility at all. This it seems like they're it's he's less covered. He's less made up. Maybe 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 I'm maybe maybe I'm, maybe I'm seeing it wrong. Maybe, from my perspective, but
No, you may be right. I just never really considered it because of the mask.
Well, remember it was a full mask, like Halloween, like horror movie mask, like Bray's Fiend mask. It was,
Yeah, true. True.
you can't have full vision out of this thing. You can't really catch a full breath, especially
Yeah.
if you gotta do any kind of running.
I think
It's a, it's 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 more of a half mask, so he should have more breathing, literally more breathing room.
Yeah, I guess this is gonna have to be a wait and see. I honestly figured they would just know it's Bo Dallas, and if even he's going by Bo Dallas now, they could change his name. Because I can't imagine it's still gonna be Dexter Lumis, Joe Gacy. I mean, I guess it could be. Man, I mean, I guess it's gonna have to be them, their names. I don't know. But this is gonna be a slow burn too, so I do wonder how short our patience are gonna be after a while.
And did you notice that when Chad Gable was entering the arena with security, they passed by a truck that had spooky Alexa Bliss on
Yes, I did. Everything they do now is purposeful.
it? Yes.
So I really dig that stuff. So I can like even if the story's not like not my even if the story doesn't make sense, I can appreciate it because that's like my cup of tea. I like stuff like this. I like being rewarded for paying attention.
I wish they'd included Braun in it, because
Yeah.
he could still be used as a main event guy.
Why is he
And the
growing
part of
his
the
hair
reason,
out if
part
he's not?
maybe they still will, and maybe him being overwhelmed 4 or 5 on 1 is going to lead to them saving him at some point.
God, Judgment Day versus the Wyatt Six?
I guess you could
Not
do
bad.
that.
I mean, it's not a
No,
terrible
no, no,
idea.
no.
So, all right. Well, speaking of that, boy, the Judgment Day sure was all over this show on Monday.
They really were, yes.
It almost seemed like old times when they were all over the shows again.
Yeah. Well,
And
they're obviously setting up for some big things regarding them. With Liv Morgan's gonna take everything from Rhea Ripley. She's gonna not just going after Dom. She's taking the entire Judgment Day with her,
yeah.
and getting them big matches, helping them win the tag, having them win tag titles. All of them except Damian have now decided that yeah, she's okay after all.
Okay.
And as we know, Finn did take that hotel key,
Yeah, and then
and they were in a room that Dominic wasn't around at all. Finn and Liv were in the room alone together when Damian walked in.
while Finn's wearing his wedding ring, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if anything sexual is going on. It's just it's
Well,
probably more part of a plan
yeah,
than.
but there's that, and then I don't know, like, I know Liv is supposed to be using her sex appeal or feminine wiles or feminine charm to get into this, right? To split it, like, get inside. So I loved, like, Carlito didn't make sense at all for this, and now he makes perfect sense.
Oh yeah, he's earning his paycheck every week, one that's full at a time.
Yeah, and I mean, they show the picture. He goes, "Oh, that's cool." Like, and they somehow have great timing, by the way.
Yeah.
He says that, and Damien's like, "No, it's not!" Like immediately, like all over his case. And I really appreciate stuff like this. And Dominic's out there. You really don't know what he's gonna do. I mean, he's, Liv's not ugly, so.
No, certainly not. No.
But yeah, so I said, just enjoy that. I'm enjoying it. I was happy to see R-Truth and Miz lose the titles finally, because those titles are absolutely meaningless around their waist.
Yeah, I mean that was, it was the moment they won, and that it dragged way too long.
Yeah, and they, Liv helping sure helped. Like the whole thing, just I'm again. It's like another appreciating, like paying attention, and there's still more to go with this. And it just seems like it seemed like at the time Finn was going to win Money in the Bank, and it would be like the perfect time to screw everything up when like him when Gunther and Damian or Dun I guess Gunther and Seth
Yeah, well,
at
we're
SummerSlam.
we took a step we took a step towards Damian Priest being forced out of the Judgment Day.
Right. And it, by but also by his own hand.
Yeah.
He said the Judgment Day needs me a lot more than I need the Judgment Day. And even the crowd was like, "Whoa, brother. Like, hang on a second here." So yeah, and it's almost like he's giving them fodder for them to turn on him. So it'd be hilarious. Won't make any
Yeah.
sense, but it'd be hilarious if Carlito's the one that beats Damian for the title.
Well, that's not. Well,
I
that's not.
know,
Yeah.
I
Well,
know, but
I imagine Seth Rollins is winning this match,
do you
and
really?
I. Otherwise, then where does Seth go? And for SummerSlam, obviously Rollins versus Gunther is the bigger match.
But then just to have Gunther beat Seth instead?
Well, I mean, you could drag out Gunther actually winning it to the Germany show at the end of August.
Is he allowed? Is he allowed to go?
I think so.
Because I know that was a problem with his visa or whatever.
He went to Saudi Arabia.
He did?
Yeah, that's when he went King of the Ring.
Oh, God damn it! Yeah. I swear to God, like I was like, when I actually it just paused, like Saudi Arabia. Oh yeah, their events come so fast now.
They are coming very, very, very fast. But yeah, no, I don't see Damian versus Gunther being in SummerSlam. As soon as Seth came back and then they did that whole thing, I'm like, they're getting this thing back on Seth. But Damian's still got the Judgment Day deal. He can still be pretty heavily featured. even without the title.
Yeah, I mean, and they gave him, you know, they gave him the big win, you know, Clash of the Castle.
Yeah.
So it won't be a totally wasted title run. Plus, you know, who knows what can happen. But I guess I never really considered Damian losing this. I was confused why they brought Seth back already. The way it sounded like Seth wasn't coming back till next year.
Yeah, that's or at least later this year. Yeah, no. But nope, Seth's apparently back, fully cleared. Yeah, I see no reason. I've seen no reason why he shouldn't win this thing. You know, Damian's obviously moving in another direction against the Judgment Day. Rollins versus Gunther's a bigger match for SummerSlam.
Yeah, and it's just knowing that they have that Germany show at the end of August, Gunther going in there with the title actually makes more sense than him winning it there.
Yeah, it very well. Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I mean, and this is the World Heavyweight Championship. It should have always been the title that can change hands at any time. Even, you know, Rollins' first reign was probably too long.
Yes, it was. With like, when we saw Fastlane... I thought for sure Nakamura was going to beat him. I was like, oh, it seemed like the right time, and he didn't, and then he didn't again. And I was like, where is Nakamura now? He just disappeared.
Yeah, he did just disappear.
So, I mean, unless he's going to show up at, who do they have their Japanese affiliate now? It's not Dragon Gate, is it?
Noah,
that's it. So, unless he's going to make a surprise appearance, but... Anyways, but I'm trying to think, what else happened on Raw? Drew McIntyre follows up about CM Punk. Just more solid stuff. Like, Drew's not doing anything out of the ordinary to make it seem so good. He's just really good at what he's doing.
No, he's very, very good. And to take us back to SmackDown, since we haven't covered SmackDown since the last time Kevin and I talked. Kind of cool way to do it, but definitely noticeable that Punk never took any kind of a real bump to get them there.
The only bump he took was when Drew dropped him.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I thought the same thing.
So, they have to be doing this match for SummerSlam. Like, unless Punk absolutely cannot get cleared, this has to be one of your top matches at SummerSlam. And they've done a great job with it. Yeah. They have done a fantastic... I mean,
he beat me to it, yeah.
Yeah, this thing has been going on since January. Yes, because of Punk's injury, they haven't touched that much. So that makes it pretty novel to see them actually wrestle each other. You don't get storylines and builds like this very often anymore.
Like, after Clash of the Castle and Punk did his hilarious AEW homage... And he's talking, and that one guy goes, well, it seems like the animosity, you guys are starting hell in a cell. And Punk goes to the kid, you can just keep your fantasy booking bullshit to yourself. And he goes, no. He's like, that's not how you do it. But after everything that's happened between these two, you can't have a regular match.
That's going to be interesting, because I think you can also drag it out beyond SummerSlam. I know they were talking about using the Bad Blood name for the October pay-per-view.
That
pay-per-view was basically Hell in a Cell before Hell in a Cell, because pretty much every time they did a Bad Blood, a Hell in a Cell match was the main event. So you could drag this thing out for a while, but again, it does feel like, even though it's the first one-on-one match between the two, it might need to be more than just a regular match.
I get maybe they'll do no disqualification. No, it just seems like it's too wild. It's got too much animosity built up into this.
I mean, you could do the deal where if they could say that quote-unquote Punk still isn't cleared, so it's non-sanctioned.
That's true. You could do that, yes. I always get on booking about, like, whenever they put a storyline, oh, your first match is a thumbtacks match. Well, why is it that? This one actually has, like you said, building it from January. This has, well, actually going back to November, really, the way Drew was, like, freaking out. I mean, it's really wild to me, and this is why I actually get excited about, like, wrestling. This stuff, I mean, they clearly aren't going to, like, beat each other up. But damn. Like, it really seems like these two do not like each other.
Yeah, no. They've done a great job with building this up, making them you feel like they hate each other.
Yeah.
And once again, in a way that WWE feuds rarely go anymore. And even in WWE peak eras, there was always a lot more. There was always that air of ha-ha to the proceedings. So things, other than like in the attitude, yeah, there were certain things that got elevated up higher. But it's definitely, you know, not always WWE's MO to have things get this heated between people without injecting any you know, comic relief or anything into it.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, it's nice. I know they've gotten physical now, but it's also
from the golden
really...
era. The only storyline I can really remember just being like this intense hate-filled thing that, in many ways, didn't feel like it almost fit with the rest of the show was the stuff with Macho Man and Jake. That, you know, went above and beyond anything that they had ever done. Even then, they still didn't, because they were still on such a no blood, no weapons kick at the time. They still never, none of their actual matches against each other, I think, elevated to the level that it could have if they'd been had the handcuffs taken off. And then, of course, there's some times in the Attitude Era where, you know, something got, you know, elevated to a level, more so because the handcuffs were off in regards to blood and weapons.
Yeah, true. I think, like, one of the, maybe it was because I was a child, or a kid, I guess, the Adrian Adonis-Roddy Piper feud, and I know it was, like, kind of a blip, but for, like, the few months they had that, it seemed like those guys were going to kill each other. And, like, going forward throughout, like...
And you know just... what? That field of WrestleMania 3 was some of the more serious stuff they ever did in that era. Because I just recently, you know, because our Vantage Point's another wrestling podcast, but they also do a deal where they're just... I don't know how they get away with this. It's just two dudes watching weekly WWF TV from that era on YouTube, but they actually, like, in, like, the big panel... Mm-hmm. Have like the show playing, so I was through that. I was able to rewatch, or I mean, not rewatch, because I don't know if I've ever seen the whole episode in its entirety. The Savage Steamboat Bell incident.
Yes, that's
and
rough.
How serious that was played. I mean, they basically said that Steamboat almost died.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did the stuff with Bruno Sammartino saying use slime and trying to choke Randy Savage to death because he was so angry about it, like stuff like that. Yes.
I'll never forget that feud also because Ricky came back. And wait, which one? Oh, I can't remember who he was angry at. Never mind, just skip it. Never mind. I'm getting myself confused, which is not all that out of the ordinary. But no. So it's like, but like a build like those, like you don't see it, and now all of a sudden we're seeing it again, and it's like, okay. Like I'm fully on board. Now, conversely, and I know you're gonna be like, "Why are you bringing this up?" But conversely, what the hell was that? Kofi Kingston and I keep wanting to say Damian Priest, Karrion Kross match.
That was weird and stupid. And Karrion Kross and his band of weirdos cannot exist in the same world as the Wyatt Six.
Well,
because they're going to be out weirded and out creepied every step of the way.
But see, I don't think they're even coming off creepy anymore. Like, have you seen any of like the backstage, like, not backstage, but like on YouTube, like the interviews they do, and they've had Karrion Kross on there. And he's explaining what's going on. It's really good. he does more on that than they do on the TV show. And I'm like, why isn't this on? This would actually help this. But then, even if it was, they put that match on with no fanfare. They didn't even promote it all night. And it lasted, what, 3 minutes?
Yep, less than about 3 minutes. The weird deal with Woods backstage. Like, if they want Woods to join them, then why are they beating him up? It's a whole... Yeah, I don't get it. And yeah, I mean, Cross does his own version of, look at me, I'm gonna talk in such these using all these big words, and I'm gonna, you know, try to be a, you know, psychological heel character, and it just never really hit with me. Yeah. I know you're a bigger fan than I've ever been, but it's just,
well, this is like, I always thought he had a cool look, but nothing made sense. Like, the presentation of Karrion Kross, like, that whole, you know, outside of Scarlett lip-syncing, I was like, that's kind of stupid. But, like, the whole presentation, they made him look like a monster. The problem was, he's a monster in NXT. When he got to the main roster, he was about the same size.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you I've ever been impressed with one of his matches.
No.
And that's always the thing. I'm like, man, I'm trying to get behind this guy because he's really changed up how he talks now. He talks more like a cult leader.
Yes.
And I don't mind that. It's like, all right.
But
then you're right.
What are the Wyatt Six then?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Yeah.
I know I'm not a fan of AOP. I'm not a fan of Paul Ellering.
Oh, God. The most useless human being in collecting a paycheck in any major company, without a doubt.
What about Jake Roberts? Well, he didn't even show up on TV. I love Jake, but
yeah. I mean, maybe Alex, whatever the heck his last name is, with the Lucha Brothers, maybe he's more useless.
No, he comes out, jumps around, and at least translates. Literally, Paul Ellering just stands there.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? Like, Triple H must love him.
That's the
only thing I can think of. So, but that was just a quick one. Like, I was like, this is the most bizarre thing for something you've been building up for weeks to have it be 3 minutes. And it's like, okie dokie. But I know there were more significant happenings on Raw, but that one stood out as like just a real head scratcher. So, what else happened on Raw? Like, of consequence that we... Chad Gable tried making up with Alpha Academy, and they rightfully said no. Like,
yeah.
It was just a week. And I don't know if he's faking it, but... All right, yeah, getting attacked like that would actually give you some perspective. So, maybe it's real, but then I guess it's just a way to get the Alpha Academy on TV with him, which is fine. So, the more Julius Creed I have on TV, the better. Brutus, I don't know. And they've kind of, like, taken Ivy Nile's aura away from her.
So, well, I don't think there was much aura there, but okay.
Well, when she first debuted, she was little, she had the braids, and she was just a badass. A little like, you know, little Spitfire badass, right? And then they slowly just changed her to being like the mom of the group. And then she loses the braids. She loses her aura. And then she just starts losing. And you're like, okay, she's just another short person. So, but I guess you did bring up SmackDown. We need to talk about the major news off of that.
Because yes, we did.
It's been a long time coming. And, of course, we're talking about Jacob Fatu. And what I mean by a long time coming, when his MLW contract came up years ago, and then he re-signed, and it was like, wait, what? Why would you do that? And I guess, you know, there's a right time for everything. And this must be his.
Oh, yeah, because everyone who signs to be part of every island-born person or blood person who signs gets to be part of the main angle and skip NXT. So yeah, I guess it probably was the right time.
Yes, and boy, was it the right time. He came out, I'm like, wait, who's this guy? And, you know, saw the movement, and you're like, oh, and he lost a good amount of weight.
He did lose a good amount of weight. He was definitely, I understand why people were saying that, well, he's going to overshadow Solo in this deal almost immediately.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what happened.
Yes. And I like it. He overshadowed him so much that people are already coming up with theories that Jacob Fatu is actually not with Solo. Just to go, and I'm like, yeah, calm down.
No. That's exactly what this is for. And yeah, as of right now, it looks like Solo is getting that SummerSlam title match against Cody.
Very weird.
Very weird, but you can tell the setup is there for Roman Reigns to be the one to save Cody from the beatdown after the ref goes down or what have you.
You really think that's how it would go down?
I think that's how it's going to go down.
But what?
Because
what does Roman get out of helping him?
Well, we don't know what did Solo mean by Roman's not coming back. Did Solo and the Tongans beat the shit out of Roman Reigns at some point after WrestleMania? And no one knows where he is. Did they kidnap him? Who knows where this could go?
I was thinking more like a psychological part that the Roman Reigns you know is not coming back, or just that he's decided not to come back. But it, SummerSlam does seem like the place Roman comes back. You know, that was never in question. Okay, sorry. I thought I lost the recording. My bad.
Okay.
It does seem like that's the right spot. It's the biggest show of the summer. You know, whatever. But I don't know. And it's like, all right, because, I mean, Solo can't win.
No, of course not. No.
So, and that's kind of what's plaguing Cody's title reign right now.
Right. But they were biding time before re-involving him with the Bloodline. So, and now he's back fully in with the end of the Bloodline storyline, so his matches can stop feeling like such foregone conclusions and just randomly bouncing from one thing to the next thing, back to the thing he was doing before. At least for the next couple of months, he's going to be pretty solidly involved in what's been the main storyline on SmackDown. His stuff has not really been the main storyline on SmackDown. So now he can be that.
Yeah.
You can have Solo. I guess it doesn't feel like the biggest match you could do. You could do a SummerSlam for sure, but it fits with the storyline. Solo will have all of his guys around ringside, and Cody, they can have him say the Dax tactic against Cody in that way.
Yeah, because there's still one more to go, supposedly.
But I'm wondering now if Hikulio ends up joining the other side, just to even things out a little more.
I don't know, because I mean he'd be joining his legitimate brothers.
Yes, he would.
So, yeah, I don't know. And which I also does add, like, I mean, so one, the regular WWE audience does not know there's one more person. So that's what's going to make it fun. They sure as hell didn't know about Jacob Fatu. And boy, that Chicago crowd, they actually knew who it was, and they jumped up for it. That was
cool. Yes. Chicago, it's going to be nice the next couple of weeks, at least, with Chicago, New York, Boston, Toronto, your big cities.
Yes.
No more Des Moines or, Mohegan Sun or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
For a little bit, at least. I mean, I know you have to, tour the country and go to these B and C markets, too. But, man, has the TV not been... especially when you have the dichotomy with the... with all the international shows.
Yes.
And then you go to, like, Des Moines for Raw. Sorry, Des Moines. I keep picking on you, Des Moines.
Yeah, somewhere there's a Nelson in this world going, hey, man, Des Moines is nice. Des Moines is nice, by the way. But, his debut, it was, to get back to the original, was well received, obviously, but also he's been tearing it up with like character work and wrestling for a while. It was just done in a place you had no idea where he was or who he was for that matter. You know, he also doesn't do himself favors, which is part of the, you know, his problem with being able to travel.
No, he's had some issues, yes.
So hopefully, you know, being around professionals, and I'm not disparaging anyone in MLW, all right? But being around like this corporate machine will tell you, "Hey, get your ass in gear." And apparently it's already worked. He looks fantastic.
Yes. Yes, and he's definitely the one you have, you know, you can sacrifice Solo for SummerSlam, but Jacob Fatu,
yeah,
he needs to keep his aura for a while.
Oh, man, the first time he starts talking, it's like, oh, brother. Yeah, I mean, Solo's in trouble. It's not his fault. He's just not Jacob. He's not as experienced, too. I mean, he doesn't talk. So you've got like the silent leader. When Roman didn't talk too much, but when he did, it was like, oh boy, well, that's not Solo. So if like it was Jacob next to Roman, it'd be fine. It's not. I mean, I know he's not going to be able to swear and everything like he usually does, but the passion that Solo or Jacob cuts promos, the other guys don't have that. So
no.
It almost seems like a Rock Farouk thing.
Yeah.
So, and that didn't end up very well for Farouk until the APA came along.
Right.
So, yes,
and I'm wondering,
I actually used his name.
Right. And I'm wondering with the six-man tag, who's the odd man out who stays outside? Is it going to be Jacob? Or have they realized that Tongaloa sucks?
Wait, which one's Tonga? Was that Camacho?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Okay, all right. And then you've got the Tala Tonga, supposedly coming in.
Who I think
it's
going to be Hikulio's new name.
Yes, yeah, it is his new name. So, but it'd be weird if Tama Tonga, Tonga Lo, and then Tala Tonga aren't all on the same team.
I mean,
that
Solo
is a
has to,
mouthful.
Obviously, Solo has to be in the match, and I think he's got to score the big win, possibly even pinning Cody.
Yeah, well, is SummerSlam, not SummerSlam, is Survivor Series still War Games?
Yeah, it should be War Games. All so right. Yeah, you could get the you're going to get your Bloodline versus Bloodline. I mean, that seems like it should be set in stone.
And then I guess The Rock can come back and put everyone together just to break them up.
yeah.
It's going to be fun. I mean, that's going to be the fun
part.
It's
going to be fun. I guess cause, yeah, towards the end of the year, early next year, we'll probably start seeing them again. I don't know how many matches he's going to do. He's got two matches he can do. He's got the Cody match. He's got the Roman match.
Yep.
You know, what's going to happen first? When is each of them going to happen?
Well, didn't he hurt himself training for that Mark Coleman movie?
I think maybe it's during a scene. I think he hurt himself, but he's going to be fine. I think he's already back to work.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they're just acting. So, but we were talking about Survivor Series, and we wrap it up on this. So, I thought it was before the show started. So, Indianapolis was just announced to get Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, and SummerSlam.
Yes.
Why aren't they trying to package Survivor Series in these? Have they done a Survivor Series in a dome or a stadium?
No. They still think that the Survivor Series name hasn't been probably rebuilt back enough for it.
I guess it
took a lot of hits. It took a lot of hits.
Yeah.
Plus, War Games would suck in a stadium, probably.
I don't know about that.
For the people on the upper deck.
Well, yeah. But I was like, the visual of that could be really cool.
It could be.
That's for us on TV. So, but I was curious about that because SummerSlam. God damn it! I always do this. Survivor Series never gets. It's supposed to be the big four, right?
Yeah.
It never gets its just due. Never.
Well, it had a lot of bad years. I mean, most of the 2000s and 2010s, some of those Survivor Series were god-awful.
Yeah.
getting rid of and bringing back the team elimination concept, and yeah, the team elimination concept, other than one big match every few years when it made sense, it ran its course in the early 90s for sure. And then it's just another show like SummerSlam or what have you. If you don't put a gimmick, the right gimmick to Survivor Series, it just feels like any other show.
Is Money in the Bank is that in the Rogers Center, or is that just an arena show?
That's just the arena.
Okay, I was wondering about that, because
Air Canada Center, whatever it's called nowadays, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. So that's not it.
Or Scotiabank Arena or something. It's similar to like the Big Bank in Canada.
Okay, so it's not in the old Sky Dome then. Okay.
No.
So as I was gonna say, because if Money in the Bank was in a dome, because it was overseas last year, wasn't it?
It was in England, but it was an arena, but they did.
All right, so it's still not
a great crowd for that. And, well, the year before is when they tried to do it in Vegas at the stadium. And they sold like 15,000 tickets and had to move it to the MGM Grand.
Okay.
Right. I was there for that one.
Okay. So I've never been to a Money in the Bank before. I've seen one, but just never been to one. But, no, I was just curious, because it seems, I guess, you could also say Survivor Series is too close to all the major holidays where you spend money.
Yeah, it is too close, and it's also really close, really, really close to the Royal Rumble. So.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it's...
It just seems like as a money-making endeavor.
Maybe at some point they feel like they can do it, but it Survivor Series is still in the process of being rebuilt.
Yeah,
around War Games.
Well, I mean, I guess yeah, because the Crown Jewel and all that's not in stadiums anymore either.
Well, I mean, there's smaller stadiums of whatever that they have over there. Yeah, I mean, they have bigger soccer stadiums, but they don't, or rugby stadiums, but. They haven't been using those as much. Yeah. I mean, the first time they went over there, they got 50,000 or 60,000, or one of the first few times maybe.
Yeah.
And then after that, post COVID, I don't think they've gone that big over there.
I didn't think so, but yeah, I remember that first one was in a larger soccer stadium, I believe.
Yeah.
So no, I was just trying to think of how the packages, but yeah, it's a bad time of year for Survivor Series to be. Around, because like you said, it's too close to the Rumble. It's also it used to be Thanksgiving Day, which I loved.
I would love that they went back to Thanksgiving Day, but you really can't now anymore with three NFL games and,
right.
and one in prime time. It would get killed.
Yeah, probably, but it's also on Peacock. What do you care?
Right. I get, maybe.
Yeah.
But sometimes NBC and Peacock have that night game.
Oh, that's true. They do, don't they?
I think they do. They do have the night game. Yes.
Yeah, I'm usually after the Lions blow it on Thanksgiving, I'm like, I'm kind of done watching football. So,
yeah.
It'd be nice if they could pull it out this year, but. All right. Well, yeah, but Indianapolis getting the three, and it sounds like I wonder if this is going to become kind of a standard thing, which I think I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
But it's not
the same year though.
It won't be the same year. It probably won't even be the year after. They might do it every 2 years. That seems like a better idea. To not even do it, the next one in 2026.
Yeah,
I mean, wait till 2027, and the next one after that in 2029.
They have not announced WrestleMania for next year. No, yeah, I'm sorry, it's for the year after. Excuse me.
Right. Yeah.
I just booked a hotel for Vegas for no reason.
For what?
I was saying they didn't announce WrestleMania next year. I went, well, if they didn't, I booked a hotel for no reason. So.
Yeah, me too. But yeah, WrestleMania, which in Vegas. I'm wondering if 2026 is gonna go overseas. I think there's a very, very good chance that it will.
It's got to be Wembley.
I imagine it would.
It's got to stick in their craw that AEW has that record. It has to bother them.
But then you went over there in two nights and you don't get that many people. I know they try to do the combined attendance, but it still won't, be official that one night attendance record.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, because we're not getting the 80,000, 90,000 WrestleManias since they went to two nights. They're probably better off financially doing what they're doing. I imagine they are.
I gotta imagine they have to be. You know.
You know, getting two nights at 60-70 is insane.
Well, especially, I mean, just attendance, but especially having these cities bid on them, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That wasn't happening before.
There are no costs. Yeah. Tony Khan, you know, pays rent like any other schlub to get Wembley.
Well, he books for the sickos.
Which may have ruined it. Which may have ruined it for WWE. But then again, if All In shits the bed this year, for attendance, it doesn't do anywhere near what it did last year, then maybe London is going to look more for WrestleMania.
It almost just seems like they have to do it.
Yeah. Or
so.
But then again, they're so hot in France and, you know, in Paris. Maybe they should do it. Say, you know what, London, you made your decision.
Here's an off-the-wall one.
You went with the B Company.
Yeah, here's an off-the-wall one I would definitely go to. Puerto Rico, do they have a stadium?
I think that, you know, soccer's pretty big there. Yeah, I think they got stadiums.
I would go. Like,
I mean, they're doing that Packers game at in no wait, that's in Brazil. Never mind. Sorry.
Wait, there's a football game in Brazil?
Yeah. One of the first.
Oh my god.
There's gonna be a Friday night game in week one with the Packers. Somebody.
Ugh. All right. Good. Stay there too, but. I think to wrap the show up, you know, everyone's talking about like France, Scotland, England, London, whatever. It seems like that Puerto Rican crowd got forgotten about because they were the standard.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a tiny show that wasn't supposed to be anything. I mean, the main event was Damian Priest and Bad Bunny.
Well, they did have Brock on that show against Cody.
True.
That ended up closing.
But, oh yeah, I forgot that was the main event. That's right. But, you know, it's just like, don't forget these people, and because they were the ones that threw the gauntlet down. And everyone else has been trying to catch up. And thank God they're trying to catch up. And I wish the people here would start catching up too. It'd be a lot more fun. Especially to watch. So, but I think that's everything for this week.
Yeah.
Well, for this show. So, I don't know if we'll be back Thursday, the two of us or not. We'll figure it out.
Well, so. No, I definitely can't do Thursday.
Oh, okay. Well, Kevin better
get so imagine it'll be you and Kevin, yeah.
All right. Well, good. We can talk about NXT because I had that on the background and, yeah.
So, is that a good yeah or a bad yeah? I'll watch it when we're done here.
Yeah, I understand why I get I know like logically what happened, but I don't understand what they're doing. So once you see it, it'll make more sense.
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to get out of here. I'll let Chris take us out. Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right. Check us out on iHeartRadio, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify. Have a good night, everybody. Later.